you're trying to get pregnant or you are pregnant and you feel a little bit overwhelmed by all you need to know, then this is the right podcast for you. Welcome to the show. I'm Bridget Maloney.
And I'm obstetrician Dr. Patrick Maloney. And this is The Kick, your expert-led podcast that delivers the essentials of growing a baby. Make sure you head to our website, growmybaby.com.au, to get some awesome free tools like our Pregnancy Knowledge Checker to help you feel like you got this.
Well, today we've got a little bit of a treat for us. We're talking with Mitch Pappas. Now, Mitch is a dad and he has one beautiful little girl. And we connected over Instagram, and I've also listened to another podcast that he was on, which is incredibly informative. It was a podcast with two other fathers. So it was really interesting to hear his perspective, and I thought we have to get Mitch on the podcast. So I think we're going to talk about today how a partner can emotionally support his partner through the process of getting pregnant and being pregnant. And we're also going to record a part two, which is how to be a great partner in childbirth. So that is going to be part of our paid program. So if you're really keen, I strongly encourage you to think about coming in and joining in on the Grow My Baby program, because we've got lots of exclusive content like that within the program. All right, so let's get on to recording this with the lovely Mitch Pappas. And for all you mamas out there that are either a single mama or perhaps you are in a same-sex relationship, we haven't forgotten about you either. We will get to you and have a episode that's specific for your circumstances as well. Well, welcome everyone. What a treat. We've got Mitch Pappas here with us today, and I want to say welcome, Mitch.
Thanks for having me, Bridget. It's an honour and a privilege to be invited onto your podcast today. I'm a big fan. I've been listening to you guys from the very start. So it's a bit surreal to be invited on here today, but I think it's important to kind of get a bit of a message out there to all of the fathers or soon-to-be fathers out in the community that there isn't a lot of content out there for them to listen to in terms of the journeyhood that they're going to go through with fatherhood. So, yeah, as I said, it's an honour to be invited on here today. So thank you.
And we also talked about you perhaps being the gold standard of what a partner can do during a woman's pregnancy. So what level of interest or research or involvement do you think a father should and can have?
Look, I try to be involved and as knowledgeable as I can be. And I guess the message that I want to kind of portray today is that you don't need to be a gold standard. You don't need to know everything, but it's important that as fathers, we're curious and we find out as much as we can and we support our partners as much as we can. So when we decided to get pregnant, I took it upon myself to be curious and to really go out there and find out as much info about preconception for starters, and then the journey through pregnancy. So the message that I'm coming to everybody with today is that you don't need to be the perfect father, you don't need to be the perfect man, but just be curious and just learn as much as you possibly can to be the best support for your partner.
Oh, that's such good advice. So you mentioned that, you know, you planned the pregnancy. So I think 50 to 60% aren't planned. So this mightn't be relevant for everybody. But what sort of research did you do before you decided to get pregnant or as you decided to get pregnant?
So there's a few things that I think are really important to kind of research before you go down the actual getting pregnant path. First thing is, and this is a real awkward and kind of taboo topic for a lot of men, but learning about women's health is really important, and more specifically your partner's health. There are some fantastic apps out there that guys you might not know about, but that track women's period cycles, and learning about each stage of the period and when ovulation is going to occur. So there's a couple of days in a month that is the go time, the time that you're going to be able to get pregnant. You don't need to go as far as putting the app on your own phone. Your partner will most likely have that app already. If not, there's a few great apps out there for the mother to track their cycles. And that will give you a really good guide of the days of the month that you'd be able to fall pregnant. So the other one is kind of learn about your partner's history in terms of contraception. So if she is still on any, you should know that already. And what type of contraception she's on, and if she's come off it, and how long it could take for them to come off that and then start trying to get pregnant, because there are some time frames with some of the types of contraception that you need to wait a couple of months to kind of get their cycles back to a bit of normality. So what that means is that after you come off some contraceptions, that their cycles will be kind of irregular, and it's hard to track that, and it's hard to find the ovulation days it's suggested that you wait a few months before everything kind of equals out a little bit, and then you can get a really good accurate guide on when those ovulation days will be. So another part of asking your partner about their contraception history is the medical history. So you may be in a relationship with your partner and you might not actually know some things about her health history. And I think it's really important that you ask these questions, because when you go to the doctor's appointments, they will come up. So a couple of things is, you know, have they had any miscarriages in past relationships? Have they had any infections in past relationships or previously? And these are really tough conversations and really tough subjects. I'm no different. It's a really, really difficult conversation, but I'm so glad that Georgia and I had these conversations prior to our doctor's appointments, because ultimately these are going to get asked by doctors and midwives in the hospital appointment. So just make sure you check in with your partner, just touch base and just ask if there's anything from her health history that you think might pop up in those doctor's appointments. So I think that's another really important thing to ask your partner.
Yeah. And for you personally, for your own fertility, did you do anything about that?
I didn't myself, but I was definitely prepared to go down that path if it was going to take us some time to get pregnant. So I'm actually going, you probably can't tell, but I'm going through some hair loss and I'm on some medication for my hair loss. And I asked, basically it impacts my hormones. And I asked the doctor, is there any impact on fertility for males? And he said, look, there's no clear studies, but if you wanted to, you could go off it, you know, while you're trying to get pregnant. And so I took that upon myself and I thought, you know what, it's more important that I try to make sure that I'm completely fertile rather than worrying about my hair loss for a couple of months. So about 3 months before we decided that we'd start trying, I went off that medication just to make sure that there wasn't anything that was going to kind of impact my fertility.
Yeah. Oh, good on you. Because, I mean, male factor fertility is a big issue and in some cases can be 50% of the issue. So, you know, it's important that men say, okay, well, what's my role in this as well?
So in terms of our story specifically, I was completely across Georgia's ovulation days and when she was expecting to be ovulating in her cycle. Now, at the time, I was traveling every second week with work interstate. So it was very, very tricky for us, given that I was out of the state for a week every 2 weeks. So I actually had a really good relationship at work with that I could manage when I could go and when I could stay at home. So I actually worked in with my employer that on the days that Georgia was ovulating, well, I had to actually, you know, explain to my manager at the time, I actually can't go away this week because we're going to try and conceive a baby. And he kind of looked at me weirdly and said, you can't go because you need to. Okay, no worries. So kind of a message out there to all men, I guess, is that you'll be surprised that in today's society, a lot of workplaces are very accepting of that conversation that you have with your workplace or your employer. So, and you don't need to tell the world, you just need to have that private conversation with your direct manager and say, hey, you know, we're planning to get pregnant. If you are traveling, do you mind if I, this week I stay at home and next week I go? So that's the path that we went down. And there were a couple of times there where we thought I had planned my trip away and her period had come earlier and we had to reevaluate when I would travel. So that was a challenge to kind of go through that. But luckily we got pregnant pretty quickly. So
You can tell that it's like a planned approach to pregnancy. A lot of people think, well, I will just stop taking the pill or whatever and here we go, I'll be pregnant next month. And you know, I think it's something like less than 20% of couples are pregnant within the first month. It's a long, persistent and consistent approach. So well done you. And then finally, when you did get pregnant, what happened? Had you already had all those big thoughts about becoming dad? Or once you saw the two lines, is that when it all hit? Or did you not have it at all?
To be honest, I didn't really consider much about being a father. I didn't want to kind of think too far ahead. I wanted to kind of show as much support as I could for Georgia in those early stages of trying to get pregnant, preconception, and then obviously getting pregnant. So I didn't really think too far ahead in terms of becoming a father. The moment that we found out we were pregnant, it was actually a bit of a funny story. So we did the you know, dash down to the supermarket and get the pregnancy test kits, and Georgia, you know, weed on one of the sticks and it came up with the lines, and we kind of looked at each other and thought, hang on a minute, does that mean? And I said, no, get another one out. You've got to get another one out. It can't be right. It can't be right. So she grabbed another one out of the kit. She grabbed the next one out. She weighed on it, double lines again. And I thought, these are faulty. I was checking the expiry date. You know, I couldn't believe it. So then I said, you know what? Give me the third one. I'm going to go and weigh on this third one. If it comes up with double lines, I know for a fact that these are faulty. So I proceeded to wee on the third one, and of course it said not pregnant. Funnily enough, it was the moment that I had weed on the third stick that we finally realized, hey, we are pregnant. This is the moment. And that was just to go back a little bit. That was our second month of trying. First month, we were a little bit blasé in that we thought, oh, let's just, you know, as a lot of kind of people do, let's just give it a go and see what happens. And of course, we didn't get pregnant. And we thought, what's wrong with us? Why are we not? It's not working. So then we kind of knuckled down and said, right, we need to make sure that we're on top of this. So, you know, if she's ovulating on a Wednesday, we said, right, from Sunday to Sunday, the 3 days before and 3 days after, we're going to make sure that try each of those days. And as you were saying before, it can get really stressful, right? A lot of people don't plan to that degree and they kind of just go into it thinking, yeah, let's try for a baby. If it happens, it happens. And as you only get one chance a month, one chance turns into two, turns into three. And before you know it, you've gone 6 to 12 months and you're not pregnant. And that can cause a lot of pressure and on the relationship and pressure on, you know, each other. So as I said, I think it's really important that if you do decide to go down the path of getting pregnant and make that decision, I think jump right in, get curious and get as much knowledge as you can.
Nice one. So when Georgia, in the early stages of pregnancy, did she have the normal early pregnancy symptoms?
She did. She was really, really sick. She was going into work every day and trying to hide it from her colleagues and her bosses. And I'm sure a lot of women out there have gone through the same thing. You know, it is a lot of pressure. You're trying to maintain a professional standard at work. Also a lot of feelings for women that if my workplace finds out, they know that I'm going to be, you know, I might take 12 months off or I might check out, or all these thoughts that flow through women's minds, or that something could go wrong in the pregnancy and they don't want anyone to know yet. And all of these pressures kind of mounting up, and she was going into work full time and, you know, throwing up in the toilets at work and trying to hide the sounds of that. And she would come home at the end of the day completely exhausted mentally just from trying to keep up that facade of that everything's fine and everything's okay. And she would come home and just throw up for an hour straight when she got home. And as a partner, that's so tough to see and so difficult because, you know, it's really hard for us to kind of comprehend, A, physically how she's feeling, but B, kind of mentally how she's feeling that she's going through all of that at work. So she had a really tough time of it at the start for our first one. But to her credit, she soldiered through and pushed through, and no one at her work actually found out till she let everyone know quite late, halfway through. So, yeah, she did a fantastic job.
And when did her sort of nausea and vomiting abate? Was it just the first sort of trimester or did it go on beyond that?
It went right through till mid-20, 24 weeks. Yeah, so it was quite a long time. And I know there's a lot of theories out there about whether you have a boy or a girl. And everyone was saying, oh, you're so sick, it must be a girl. And, of course, it turned out to be a girl. But it can be either. So it actually lasted quite a while. We're pregnant again with a boy this time, and she's around 27 weeks now. And she was sick at the start, but only for the first trimester.
That must be a relief. Yeah. In your first pregnancy with Edie, did anyone ever diagnose hyperemesis gravidarum?
We went to a doctor's appointment to the hospital at around 18 weeks, and we explained that Georgia was feeling really ill and throwing up a lot, and they prescribed us with some medication to help with the nausea. But, you know, Georgia's a very, very resilient type of person and kind of resisted taking those. Whether that was the right decision or wrong decision, that was the decision she wanted to go down. So we were prescribed them and they sat on the counter and she didn't take any of them.
Oh, wow. Wow. And so was 18 weeks your first visit to see somebody, or had you seen a GP earlier?
We'd seen a GP earlier. So we were going to our local GP and, of course, we had the 6-week scan and then the 10-week tests for the sex and Down syndrome. But then from that 10-week mark through to 18 weeks, we hadn't seen anyone. And they were probably the worst weeks because that was when she was most sick. As I said, we hadn't seen any doctors. She was trying to hide it from her work, starting to show a tiny bit, you know, all of these type of things that started to kick in between that 10 to 18 week mark that were starting to come along.
You're listening to The Kick with Dr. Pat and Bridget.
Hi, everyone. Well, we've got a milestone coming up and we want to celebrate it with you, our listeners. May 7th, we're going to launch our 100th episode of The Kick. And guess what? We couldn't have done it without our listeners. To celebrate, we are asking for you to tell us your biggest tips about getting pregnant, being pregnant, becoming a mother, birth, anything that you think future listeners might benefit from. And we want 100 voices. As a gift to you for adding your voice, we will give everyone a whopping 50% discount to any of our programs. You can use this yourself or gift it to a friend. To add your voice, go to our website, growmybaby.com.au. We will then put a selection of the voices together for our 100th episode. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? So the website again is growmybaby.com.au. We are so excited to hear all your biggest tips for future mamas just like you. And I did a quick canvas of my friends and I realised I'm abnormal. I don't know if any of our listeners have ever worked that out, but I never wanted Dr. Pat or my former husband to come to any of my appointments. I'm like, why would you do that? You'd have to take time off work. I'm fine. They're only going to sort of measure my belly and check my blood pressure. I'll be fine. And all of my friends said, absolutely no. My partner came to all of my antenatal appointments. So what did you do? Did you go to all Georgia's appointments?
Yeah. So at the very start, I actually made a point and I said to Georgia, I'm not going to miss any appointment. No matter how small the appointment is, I'll be there right next to you for every single appointment. And I think the reason that I made that decision, and I think that a lot of men out there should also try to make that decision if they're able to, it's a little bit of a taboo subject. And we think that pregnancy is a women's health issue and a women's health subject, when in fact, it's actually the baby that's inside their belly is also your baby. So the responsibility should be completely 50-50. Now, of course, we don't have the physical symptoms and we don't have the baby physically inside of us, but mentally, we're riding that pregnancy through just as much as they are. So I made the point of that I would go to every single appointment, which I did. And again, I did mention to my manager and say, hey, you know, we're pregnant and this is in the early stages. Again, I didn't share it with, you know, everyone at work, just my direct manager. And I said, you know, is it okay if I go to every single doctor's appointment? And I think we need to realize that in today's day and age, it's such a modern world with a lot of flexible working arrangements that gone are the days of if a man, you know, went to his boss and said, can I have the afternoon off? They'd say no. You'd be very surprised if you did go to your employee and say, hey, do you mind if I duck out to spend an hour at the hospital with my wife for a pregnancy appointment? They will more than likely say yes. So my advice here is engage early with your workplace, set the scene of kind of what you want to commit to with your partner and also with your workplace. And if you can, follow through with it.
And did you feel like your workplace respected your decisions?
Yeah, certainly. So I'm really lucky. I work for a tech company and they recently in the last couple of years matched the 16-week full paid parental leave that women get at our workplace for men. And we're also able to take that leave flexibly. So that was a huge deal. So I was able to take my leave however I like. So what I did was, and this is kind of fast forwarding a bit, but once Edie came along, I took a month off at the start in those really important formative stages to help support. Obviously, mum's just given birth and we've got the newborn there. And then I actually went back to work, worked from home. Luckily, again, in today's modern society, we're able to flexibly work. So I was there at home helping support. And then at around the 4 or 5 month mark, Georgia actually asked if she'd like to go back to work part-time. So I then took a month off to help her transition back into work, just to free her up so that she didn't have any of those, you know, responsibilities with the baby as much, that she could really focus on getting back to work and getting used to that work life again. So that was 2 months of my leave. And then I actually took every Monday off for the rest of the year, which was a day that Georgia would go into work and I would spend the entire day with Edie, which was, yeah, I really, really cherish and value those Mondays that I had with her every week.
Mm. And for those men who have workplaces that aren't as flexible as you, what are some things that they could be doing around, you know, an inflexible workplace? And God knows, let's hope that people have as flexible work as you. But let's say, for example, Pat's work. There is no way Pat could take that sort of time off. Only because, you know, his schedule is determined by other things, such as babies coming. So, you know, it just never was in our mix at all. And so we decided on the things that he could do. I also didn't want him to be getting up overnight because I was getting up overnight and he sometimes was getting up overnight anyway. So it's sort of like, you know, I'll do the overnights. But with men who perhaps have fixed workplaces, what are some practical things that they could do, perhaps during the pregnancy and perhaps when the baby's born?
Yeah, so one interesting thing is that, as I said, hopefully in today's society, we start to see more and more workplaces accepting that men should be entitled to more leave. I will mention that the government does offer 2 weeks of minimum wage paid leave for all fathers. So I would encourage all fathers, regardless on whether the minimum wage is not enough for you or it is, it's not about that. It's about taking those 2 weeks off to be able to be there and support your partner. So I would encourage all men to take that. Another little tip that I've got is every year it comes to the stage where you have to have your performance review or your review year with your employer. And a lot of people go down the path of asking for a pay rise. You know, we're in our careers and we work for a very long time, you know, over 40 years. What would it hurt to have one conversation and say, hey, instead of a pay rise, can I have an extra 2 weeks off paid for when my baby comes along next year? Or if you're pregnant, you know, later this year, you could also look at things like bought leave. So where you buy your leave in advance. The other thing is just have the conversation and challenge your workplaces on this, because you'll be very surprised at the response that you get. I'm in the process of actually changing careers at the moment. And part of my negotiation for my salary, you know, this is a very common thing, right? Someone offers you a salary and you go back and you say, oh, can I have more? Instead of asking for more salary, I actually, Georgia and I, as I mentioned, having another baby in October, instead of asking for more salary, I said, can I have 5 weeks off paid leave in October? And they said yes. So there's things that you can do thinking outside the box and really challenging your workplace to support you. And the other one I'll mention is there are people that obviously, as you said, Pat's probably in a little bit of a you know, a different situation in such a vital and important role. So once dad gets home from work, there are a few little tips that us fathers can do to really support. And I know the age old, you get home and the baby gets thrown at you and you both have that argument of who's had the harder day. I can tell you right now, I work and I've been a father and it is much harder to be a father than it is to work. So just get home, forget about your day, just grab the baby. And there's a few things you can do. So take the baby for a walk and just say to mum, go have a shower, go to the toilet, go watch your favourite show, don't clean the house. And I'll get to that point next. Just take the baby and get out of the house and give her a little bit of time to do whatever she needs to, because she might have gone all day and not been able to even go to the toilet without, you know, having to lay the baby on the floor next to her and all these things that, you know, men don't necessarily think about. So yeah, take the baby out if you can. Another thing is when you first find out that you're pregnant, what I would encourage most fathers to do is to find out all of the responsibilities that mum has. And they can be things like paying the bills, vacuuming, cooking. Find out what she does and try to take on those responsibilities. So it's one less thing that she has to worry about, right? All the way through pregnancy and obviously when the baby comes along. And not just, hey, oh, yeah, I'll start doing the vacuuming. Follow her around one day and watch how she does it, because you might say, oh, I'll do it, but you won't do it right and it'll just make her more angry, right? Or start Googling some recipes, ideas, and start trying them and start cooking them in the kitchen and see what she likes, so that when the baby comes along, she doesn't have to do anything and you've got these awesome snack ideas that you already know she loves. You've already tried them and cooked them and you know how to do them and they're easy. You know, some Anzac biscuits or some protein balls or a lasagna, whatever it is, get working on this kind of stuff early. Get the logins for all of the accounts that you've got to pay, your water and electricity, and start working out how regularly you need to pay them. Put them in your calendar and your iPhone, whatever it is. These are all little things that you can pick up that are going to mean the world to mum when she's got a million things on her mind and she's trying to look after the baby. If you can just try and take over as many of those things as you can, I think that's really important.
I think every woman listening to you, Mitch, might just want to be married to you now. I think what you've just described so beautifully is the mama mental load, and it is massive. And I think when we asked this question on our Instagram stories and everybody was saying this emotional support that they needed, and I'm thinking, well, what is that? And it is sort of firstly recognizing that there's this ton of extra stuff that a woman does. I'm really glad that you so clearly communicated that then. Let me ask you about your peers, your friends. Do you think that you are the norm, or do you think that they appreciate what you do, or do you get any blowback? How do they feel about you and fatherhood?
So I grew up playing football, a bit of a stereotypical male in Australia. I grew up playing sport in a male sports team. You know, all male coaches, all male staff members. I worked a trade for 5 years, which is a very male-orientated job, surrounded by males on building sites. And there's a lot of still that stereotypical male thought process out there, and I've got a lot of friends that still don't really get it. And I try my best to lead by example rather than try to change people's minds. So I think the best way to influence people is if they see me doing the right things for long enough, hopefully they'll follow. So they're kind of more distant type friends to me. In terms of really close friends and family, I've got my brother-in-law and George's sister have just given birth to their first baby, beautiful little Frankie, a couple of weeks ago. And Alex would call me and say, can we go for a walk? And he'd say, what do I do? You know, I'm worried I'm going to say the wrong thing. And these type of conversations I really value because I can try to give the best advice that I can. And I'm not perfect, but I've been through it. And as I said, you know, I try to do as much as I can and try to learn as much as I can, that I hope that any information that I can give to my close family and friends, they're going to take on board and follow as well. I hope that, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years, or by the time Edie's my age, that it's completely changed, you know, society's changed, and that it's a complete equal part that fathers and mothers play 50-50 roles in parenting.
Mm. I remember when I was working for a big organisation, and it was mainly a female workplace. However, the men at the place were in the exec roles. I was one of the execs. So it was me and lots of men. But one of the men actually wanted to go exactly like you. He wanted to go part-time and take every Monday off. In my team, I had a whole team of part-time women. We're in the marketing communications team, and all part-time women. We're all juggling so many balls. And I remember that we had, when this guy announced that he was taking a day off to be dad at home, we threw him a morning tea. And I remember my teammates going, where's my bloody morning tea? You know, I'm doing all this stuff and nobody's ever sort of given me a morning tea. And I don't know, I did see the inequity in that, but I did also think, well, this is a male-dominated industry and this man is deciding to have this time off. We've got to celebrate that because it paves the way for other men to do the same thing.
I completely agree. I think we really need to celebrate a man taking on these responsibilities and doing things differently. Celebrate it, call it out. I think that's the most important thing. So that's a really good example and a really good... I went through the same type of thing at my work. So when I did eventually share it with the broader team, I also mentioned that, you know, I'm going to be taking some time off and I'm going to be using my full 16 weeks, you know, right to that last day, because I want to spend as much time with Edie as I could. So, and that was celebrated internally as well. So I think, as you said, it's really important to celebrate those type of actions that these men are taking.
Well, Mitch, I think you've imparted so much wisdom for men that might listen to this podcast. And we know that men are listening to the podcast because we're getting that sort of feedback. So I think they'll love one that's specifically about becoming dad. And what we're going to go on to is record your experience of birth and what it meant for you as a gold standard dad in birth when Edie was born. So thanks so much, Mitch, for that.
No problem at all. As I said, it's a pleasure to be invited on here today and to just share kind of my experiences with everybody. So thank you.
Thank you.